And welcome to the Fence 10 podcast. Simon here with Fraser, Liam and Paul. We'll review the defeat to Lincoln and the point against Stevenage. And we'll look forward to Exeter on the last game of the regular season, hopefully extending that for another three more games. But we'll see. The women played MK Dons. We'll talk about that game and their one game left. And we'll perhaps have a chat about the heads of terms being signed, and also FA Cup news and the fallout from the announcement on that. But first things first, Lincoln. I know before we started, Liam, you said this, you know, there's no point in looking back at results and thinking, what if we had have beaten them, then that would be playoffs guaranteed. As it stands, we're behind them on goal difference, with basically it going down to two teams from four, two from Barnsley, Lincoln, ourselves and Blackpool.
Yeah, it was, as a game, I think a draw was probably fair. Obviously, a disputed penalty. I would agree with Des Buckingham and say it probably wasn't a penalty, but I would caveat that by saying, why the hell was he sliding in sort of from behind? Yeah, he took the ball, but it was an odd time to go to ground. It was definitely a striker's decision, not a defender's. And then they've got something to hold on to, and they did that well enough. If they get into the playoffs, do I see them going up? Probably not. But then if they can do that against other teams, then who knows? But it is what it is. I thought their celebrations at full time were probably everything we needed to see as a club, as a team. So it'll be interesting how that sort of, how it plays out, how they are against top of the league.
Mm. It was a strange one because I didn't manage to catch the game. So I knew that there was a disputed penalty. So watching the highlights back, I knew there was a thing where he won the ball and a penalty was given, but I still didn't see it coming. Like, and everyone that I've said, if you like, this is the situation. There is going to be a tackle in this that I don't think is a penalty. Nobody sees that tackle as a penalty. Like, even when you know it's coming. Yeah, it wasn't a great decision, but we seem to have, when we're playing against Peterborough and they're coming at us, we can do really well. But when they're sat back and we have to do something, which is what the longer the game went on, then Lincoln would have had to have come at us. We just don't seem to be able to get ourselves going in that thing. We're so slow and pedestrian getting it forward. It was really frustrating.
That being said, I'm sure we all saw the stat that in terms of matches at home, we've beaten one of the top half of the table. That's not good enough, is it? And yes, that win was 5-0. It was a very solid win. And there are plenty of draws in there, but that's something that needs to be addressed in the forthcoming season. It also shows how good our away form has been and how good we've been against those teams near the bottom that historically I can just remember us struggling against quite a lot.
And if you want to look at it, like, Peterborough did give us a 2-0 head start.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right about the stat about the teams in the top half of the table as well, because a lot, and we'll get into this, I know, but a lot's been made following the Lincoln and Stevenage games about the controversial penalties given against us and not given to us. And while they are, I mean, particularly that Stevenage one is a shocker, a lot's being said about, you know, could that have a big impact on our season? And I guess isolated, if you want to say that, it could, but you seem to be starting the clock there where it's beneficial for Oxford. And I'd argue that we have thrown away so many points this season from positions we really shouldn't have thrown away points from, that, you know, of course you expect a referee to be able to see that that was a penalty on Marcus Brown. But, you know, I don't think if we, well, we'll get into the forensic season analysis after this Saturday. Hopefully we won't, actually. Hopefully we'll do it a few weeks beyond that. But
or just not at all. Just celebrate.
Screw it. Yeah. But, you know, Cheltenham away, Leighton Orient at home, Northampton, both games, all silly, silly points that we should have had and we haven't got. That Shrewsbury away game, you know, it's we've really kind of been our own worst enemy this season,
and that includes not conceding or not having a shot against us on target until 60 minutes against Stevenage and going behind. I'm going to talk about the penalty because I've heard so many people say, the referee, it's difficult for him to see it. The reason it's difficult for him to see it is because he's in a bad position. He should be in a position that he can see that that's a penalty. Admittedly, him being poor at his job meant that he was in a bad position and therefore couldn't see it was a penalty. And the assistant should have seen it and should have given it. The fact they've both made that error is what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, it's literally the reason that a ref generally runs from, if you look at a pitch from above the top right to the bottom left, and that two linos will cover, you know, he runs a diagonal line so that two linos can see what he may not see. I agree, Liam, he's in a bad position, but the linos really got to see that. And, you know, because as soon as he flags, that the ref, any doubt in his mind, he can say, well, my official has got a better view, has seen it, and there we go. And the funny thing is as well, you know, if like, didn't he give a corner?
He gave a corner, so he must have seen it.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. He did, you know, he gave a corner, which was the only thing it really shouldn't have been. It was either a goal kick because Marcus Brown kicked the ball out, which he did, because he got the final touch on the ball. The goalkeeper didn't get a touch. Or it's a penalty. So it's a goal kick or a penalty. The one thing it wasn't or shouldn't have been was a corner.
But I think what we've learned is if you win the ball, it's a penalty against Oxford. If you don't win the ball, it's not a penalty for Oxford. If you handball it, it's not a penalty for Oxford. But if you foul someone outside the box, it's a penalty for Oxford.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm going to even question that's a foul. There's barely any contact there. It's that was also a bad decision. But anyone that then goes... The one that was given.
Oh, yeah. It's completely not a foul.
I mean, I think the thing that makes it look most like a foul is the fact that straight away that defender, who was one of the most efficient defenders you can see, straight away points and goes, it was outside the box, which shows that he thinks, okay, this might be given as a foul. Anyway, that was given. The amount of people that will then go, there you are, that's evened itself up. No, it hasn't, because it would have, had we taken exactly the same penalty in the first half, it would have been 1-0 and it's a completely different game.
It's like the disallowed goal when Lampard scored against Germany. 1-1, you know, it's a whole completely different game. It's the context of the game, like the penalty that Lincoln got. You don't get that, it's a different game.
I will always say the referee will not cost you the game. Other things will cost you the game. But those decisions are not good enough. It's a job that I wouldn't want. I've said this so many times. Don't become a referee then. This person's chosen to be. I am not in any way saying it's cost us. I think what's cost us is we weren't efficient enough. We didn't take our chances. I think we realistically should have been 2-0 down against Lincoln. And then probably scored two ourselves if the chances fell exactly as they should. We did not take the chances that were presented, and you watch that ball go across to Goodrum and you expect him to put it in the back of the net. But, you know, those games are gone.
Even in the Stevenage game, Josh Murphy has a glorious chance to win it when he goes through on goal, and you'd fancy him to put that away with the form he's in. And then, the keeper did well in that moment. And that's 2-1, and then no one's really remembering the Marcus Brown. I mean, we are definitely remembering the Marcus Brown. it was so frustrating last week. And it's funny, isn't it? Football does this. Like, how long ago does Peterborough seem now? It's like a lifetime ago. That game is years ago. The two that have come since, it's such a weird roller coaster that you wouldn't have thought at full time against Peterborough that, you know, now we've worked this out, didn't we? 6 days later, we'd be thinking, God, this doesn't look great anymore, does it? But it felt like we were going to smash it after that. But
I don't think you can look at the Lincoln game and say, yeah, we should have won that. I think a point would have been fair. I think we did enough to win the Stevenage game. But yeah, being 1-0 down when they've not had a shot is not the best look. And it's not even the fact it's an own goal. The space that they were gifted going to that byline, just shouldn't happen. That's that. It's been and gone. If we scored that goal, I'm sure we wouldn't be questioning it.
Well, as you say, yeah, let's move on to Exeter. And looking at their form is a little concerning, but then there's the look at, okay, the six games they've won in the last sort of month and a half have been against Shrewsbury, Burton, Cheltenham, Stevenage, Port Vale and Northampton. So they've not been playing teams in the best of form, more sort of towards the foot of the table, but they've certainly hit a run of form, and you know, you would expect them to take the game to us, which may in a weird way suit the way we played against Peterborough, in that they had the majority of the possession and we caught them on the break. You know, and that might suit us more than a game against Lincoln, who were sort of very much watching the time and managing the game very well. And Stevenage, who always do Stevenage things. So, you know, they'll be confident, but they've not beaten, you know, exceptional sides in that run. We've just got to go there. I know we said go there, win, and let's see what happens. The you know, the maths could be that even if we lose, if Lincoln lose heavily at Portsmouth, you know, we may even it's going to be
lots of calculations. Yeah, I wouldn't put a
fiver on that one. No, I wouldn't. No, absolutely. But the whole sort of, you know, mathematically, yeah, we win. I think we've got a decent chance potentially of catching Barnsley and possibly, you know, going past Lincoln, who might get a draw at Pompey. It's crikey. You could look at all four games and kind of come to any kind of result for any of the games, you know, because they're all difficult to call. And last games of the season often turn up a weird result.
I think that what we need to do as a club, as a fan base, realistically, is everything needs to be on winning that game. It's such a stereotype, but ignore what happens everywhere else. I'll tell you the one thing that we as fans will definitely not do, and that is focus on the game and ignore what happens everywhere else. We will be watching it, and if there's a goal in the third minute, we'll be going mental or have given up regardless, because that we're football fans and that's what we do.
You don't want to find that, you know, the other results have gone our way,
the players and the staff need to just focus on that one game and make sure we win. Ugly, pretty, best game, like 5-0 style against Peterborough, or scraping 6-5, whatever it is, 3 points. And to be honest, you finish the season with that amount of points and don't get into the playoffs. What more can you do?
I'm going to be looking at every other score. You can't stop me.
No. And like, I will be too.
But you're absolutely right about, you know, the 11 on the pitch. They've got one job to do. And if
77 points is not enough,
What can we do?
That's madness.
Yeah, I think, Simon, you're absolutely right about I think Exeter could be a good team to play at the moment. I mean, I know they're on really good form, but you know, you read out those teams they've got their wins against, and you know, I think they're not going to be Stevenage, are they? They're gonna play football, which seems to suit us quite well. We've got a hell of an incentive to go and win the game, you know, and we can't lie to ourselves. Exeter are going to be well up for it as well. They're going to they'll love to have an impact on what happens on the final day. Yeah, I don't know. I really can't call this one. It's going to be very tense. I'm actually quite glad it's a 12:30 kickoff because it feels like it'll just be over quicker. I don't want to sit and wait till 3 o'clock.
No, and it's a long old. It's quite a journey down. You know, yeah. It's a good 3-hour journey at least. So it's going to be an early start for those that are going down.
Yeah, can the club just spend the money to get the team there now? Maybe, can we make them as pampered as possible? But yeah, it's I can't predict what's going to happen at this. What's contributed to Exeter's form? Have they got a goal scorer in there, or what? Who are the threats?
I think partly kind of knowing they're safe has done it. They've known realistically they were right for a while, and I think that's
because they're usually a candidate to go down, aren't they? And they've had that's a hell of a season they've had.
And they started the season fairly well. You know, they'd won sort of 5 of the first 8 games, so started really well, then had a horrendous run of form through September, October, November and December, where they hardly won a game. And then it's picked up a bit. 3-0.
I think were they one of the, like, we were 3-0 up for several games in a row where it just seemed like we didn't have to get out of second gear.
Mm.
Oh, that was good.
Good times.
You talk about seasons and how they go. If you were told it's going to go down to the last season where we might get through to the playoffs, if we were told that this time last season, we'd be like, go for that. But it just hasn't unfolded the way you'd want to.
if you were told, a year ago, the last game of the season, we got a chance at the playoffs. By the way, at the start of October, we're 5 points clear of the playoffs. Then it starts to turn a bit.
How much do you want to tell them?
Yeah, that's true. So who's making the trip? Simon, I presume you are.
I am, yes. Yeah, I know. I'm going down and back on the same day. I don't know. I'm having a sort of a think about what time, because of course, you know, the pubs aren't going to be open really at that early. So
don't you find it like airport level exciting, like being on the road at that time?
There is a certain sort of it was always something we did as a family. We'd have a lot of family holidays when I was a kid in Cornwall. My dad was a baker, so he'd get up about 2:30 to go to work. So when we went on holiday, it's like, right, we're leaving at 3 a.m, beat the traffic. So we used to, you know, that kind of getting up at silly 8:00 in the morning to go down to Exeter, or we'll have a little bit of a throwback to this. Not that I'm going at 3 o'clock in the morning, that would be silly. I know fantastic Mr. Ox and a few others are making a weekend of it, stay in some little village. Sort of, there's some great sort of village names down in Devon. I always think you can tell where somewhere is by the sort of Spittoon Abbott or something or other that they're staying at. So there's going to be a lot of people, I think, making a nice weekend of being down in Exeter. And we've sold out, everything will be getting behind the team, because that's what the team have done, the fans have done recently at home, very much got behind the team and created a decent atmosphere, even when the results in the last two games haven't gone particularly well. There's been a real desire from the fans to cheer them on. So hopefully that will happen again. So in terms of what we need, obviously, you know, we need to do what we can to win the game, but we need to better Lincoln and Barnsley's results. If we do that, then we finish above them. So if Lincoln or Barnsley draw and we win, we finish above them. If they lose and we draw, we finish above them. So it's fairly simple in that respect, is we've got to better their results. But if we only better one of them by drawing and Blackpool overtake us by winning, they come into the equation. So it will be a case of get the smartphone out, have a look, see what's going on, the live table. But it's win the game and let's see.
And for
if we absolutely batter Exeter, we can overtake Lincoln on goal difference.
But it would be a five-goal swing. But Northampton and Bristol Rovers fans would be all over this like a hawk.
Yes. Yeah.
It's doable.
Also, if we're beating them on goal difference, it means we've got the same points that Lincoln have won, which I think would require a 6-goal swing, because obviously theirs would increase by one as well. Is that right? So if they're currently 5 goals ahead of us.
That's correct. Sorry to make it worse.
No.
That does make you absolutely right.
For anyone listening to this point, this is our second time doing this to make it more easy. And it's still like, you know, the GIF where the numbers are going past the face. See, this is why we just need to win the game and then just see what happens.
Just update your phone.
Just look. I mean, look at the tables, people. You know, you've all got access to the internet, hopefully.
Yeah.
The worst case scenario.
If you listen to a podcast, you must have. So, you know.
Yeah. Worst case scenario is the results go our way and we don't take the opportunity. If we lose and we could have got in, that's the worst case scenario. So let's avoid that by winning the game.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because there is, obviously, on the touchline, you know, I'm not expecting Des to be looking at his phone, but you kind of expect that somebody in the backroom staff will be looking at what's going on. We talked about not, you know, if we mess up because somebody else brought to mind something that happened to Man City. So Man City now are winning just about everything. But back in, I think it was 96, I'm just looking now. So in 1996, they needed certain results to go their way, and they were winning a game or drawing, and it was all kind of like, okay, yeah, just keep the ball. And they ran the ball into the corner of the pitch to kind of time waste, at which point somebody realised, no, we need another goal, and by which point the referee blew the whistle and game over. So, yeah, you've got to be very careful doing that kind of like, we'll see what might be going on. Because then if you get loads of extra time in one of the games and two late goals are scored, well, that's it. Sometimes those very final games of the season when, you know, teams may have had their end of season do, you know, and really have switched off.
What a wonderful link.
Talking of end of season do's, the club had theirs recently. Did anyone go? Well, I mean, lots of people went, obviously, but did anyone from the podcast?
Who do you think I am? I'm not a sponsor.
No, I didn't. I do think we talked about it in our WhatsApp chat earlier. Someone talked about the Andrew Napton Award not being presented on the pitch as it has been. That is a shame. I think the club have been getting a few things right recently, and maybe miss the opportunity there or slightly not read the room there is a bit of a shame. Because, you know, that's a fans thing that the fans like. I hope that the club are taking on board when they do something and they sort of get called out for it. I hope they're taking those things into account. Other than that, obviously, things like Golden Boot are predetermined. O'Sheen Smith, I think that's a fine choice for goal of the season. But I got to say, this has been one of the best for options. We've scored some absolute crackers. You look back and things have been shaky at times, and we're now sat here going, well, I hope, but all in all, what an exciting season it's been.
Well, the was it Fleetwood away, Kyle Edwards, they each scored a screamer, didn't they?
And Bowden was the other one, and Bowden was a volley from just outside the area.
Yes.
And if you score a volley from just outside the area and then you're not being talked about for what's the best goal of the game, then
there's also that one at Stevenage away where Greg Lee comes across the box and turns and shoots sort of at the far corner past the keeper. And that, it was always great watching that because it's down at the away end as well. And our fans are sort of the backdrop. So, you're right. There was a hell of a lot of contenders this season.
And I don't think Tyler Goodrum ever scores a bad goal.
No.
So the fact he's scored a fair few this season helps.
FA Cup's games from next season won't go to replays. They will go to extra time and penalties right from the first round proper. So even though the Premier League clubs don't come in until the third round, they've removed replays from rounds one and two because of fixture congestion that the Premier League clubs are involved in. And I don't quite
understand
very
concerned.
How that works.
Oh, yeah. They're very concerned about players playing too much, which is why Newcastle aren't playing Spurs down in Melbourne just before the season starts.
Yeah.
Very concerned.
Yeah.
I think it's right. I think we've got to protect our Premier League clubs.
I'm just a bit I'm struggling as well to understand where we talked about playing Coventry in whatever the EFL trophy was sponsored by at the time. Under 21 teams, coming in from Premier League and Championship clubs. I think it was about 8 years ago that started. Mm. Now, if you've got under 21 players, let's say they're 16 when they at that point, they'll now be 24. And you would think at that point they would be ready to play in the first team because that was why these Premier League clubs put their under 21 players into the EFL trophy to give them the experience that they weren't getting anywhere else that they needed for the future of English football to get that experience. So surely that worked, otherwise they wouldn't have done it. You know, they must now be ready for the first team. Yeah, if it's not exactly, you know, so these clubs must have loads of players ready for the first team because they all played in the EFL trophy.
We're probably in agreement that the replay's not happening would have been received in a fairly understanding manner if everyone who partakes in the FA Cup, even if you just say the FA Cup proper, as you said, got to choose. But no, it's a few Premier League managers who have moaned about it, who won't be in the Premier League in 10 years, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
So why on earth? Well, we know why, and it's money, and it's corruption, and it's and I know that the word corruption makes it sound a bit conspiracy theorist, but it is. As soon as you just go, oh, what Jurgen Klopp has said they're playing too many games. Okay, well, let's take out these games then.
Mm.
What?
And do you know?
I'm annoyed by it. I've talked about the Newcastle Spurs game in Melbourne just because I've seen that's happening. And, you know, they're playing too many games and all of that. Well, don't play those games, though. And the argument will be, but that helps our global brand.
And what the hell
do you think it does when, you know, Sutton United, they're a great example, when they get through and they play Arsenal? And that's what do you think that does to Sutton United? I'll tell you what it does. They're now a league club.
Mm.
It keeps them alive. It keeps them going. Mm. And it what an advert for
English football. Lincoln City. Well,
yeah.
And our opponents, you know, on Tuesday night, Lincoln City getting through to the quarterfinals.
If we can get rid of Lincoln,
but Lincoln, you know, getting through to the to the quarterfinals as a non-league club, had a huge impact on their ability to recruit players when they were in the non-league at that point. In the conference, they've been able to invest and improve and do all the things they've managed to do with that injection of money. And
I think the
Champions League is expanding, and I'm just looking forward to Pep Guardiola having a rant to whoever's presenting it on BT Sport or TNT Sport next season and going, we shouldn't be playing this. It's ridiculous that I've had to play a Champions League game after playing a game at the weekend because they've expanded that. It's all about money. Yeah. But it's all about
money going to the right people, and those right people are 20 clubs.
Yeah, who are infinitely wealthy already, even though a lot of them are losing money hand over fist, and they're all in debt because they don't make any profit because they spend so much money. They're receiving huge amounts of money. They're spending ridiculous amounts of money. Mm. And it's just, it is utterly wrong that they get to choose. How a competition that they're a tiny part of
then I think it's sort of understandable if everyone's got the same problem. But no, well, it's the ones who are bringing on, and I referenced this on the last pod, the ones who are bringing on squad number 84, and the commentators talking about, well, that shows how unlikely it was for him to play. Why is he there then? It is ridiculous.
If it had only come from the FA and they consulted nobody, you could understand it a little bit more. You could think, well, nobody's been out. The FA have decided it's their tournament and they're doing that. But like you've all said, it's the fact that they did consult some clubs and those happen to be the ones in the top division with all the money. Yeah. Who like you say, Simon, take part after round three?
Yeah, they come in at round three. We've already taken replays out from, I think, from the fourth or fifth round. I think it's fifth round onwards. So they were only ever going to have to play potentially two replays. And I think somebody, you know, Pep Guardiola, as an example, I think they played one replay in 8 years or something. It's that kind of level. It's a small number of replays. We've been, you know, really lucky over the years to have been involved in, you know, quite some time ago, Leeds and Chelsea in 99. More recently, though, you know, Newcastle and being able to go to Newcastle,
that would not have been on Match of the Day.
No, and you would.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
Exactly. The, you know, and that game was a hell of a game. You know, I can't imagine anyone following on from
quite a dull game.
Yes.
Up in Newcastle.
Yeah. Oh, the game up in Newcastle. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think we're probably preaching to the convert. I can't imagine there's many people listening to this going, oh, no, I disagree with you, chaps. We need to protect the Premier League players from burnout and such. I think there's still time for them to potentially rethink. You know, the draws haven't been made. There's no schedule. Well, I suppose there is a schedule to an extent. But, crikey, you see, is it Truro? You know, Truro are playing, because they've had such terrible weather in Cornwall, all the pitches are very wet. So their home games have been postponed frequently. They're playing Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. They're often playing literally four games in a week.
In how many days exactly, Simon?
Well, that was, yeah, exactly. But also, you know, and a lot of those players would have been doing a normal day's work prior to that. I don't know, I think
it's quite rich of the EFL to put out the statement and stuff, because like they've let them get away with so much for so long. Like, so suddenly no, this is disgusting. It's like, well, yeah, but you've been okay when they've been paying you stuff, haven't you? You know, like, you can't suddenly start, oh no, this is not right. You're part of the problem.
Forgive me for my ignorance here. Is this absolutely in concrete? There's no chance of appeal. There's no test period to see how it goes.
I don't know. I mean, whether they will rethink it, I don't know. Possibly not. Probably not, because as we put, the people with the power, the people with the money, are the ones that want this to happen as it is. You know, so they won't want to turn against them.
Why would they? And I don't. You know, I don't agree with this, but why would they possibly care? They don't give a single shit about what anyone below the Premier League thinks about what they do. They have all the power. They have all the money. They don't care. They will, whether they would have found it annoying that they even had to release a statement about this, if you ask me.
I mean, I've written that as we were talking, Football Regulator. I mean, I think this is absolutely clear why we do need a Football Regulator. The problem will be is, you wonder if they will then be influenced by lobby groups from very, very wealthy football clubs Premier Leagues who decide, we're going to put a little bit of pressure on that particular person and lobby them and do whatever.
Well, Richard Marshall is never out of Parliament lately, is he? The Premier League chief executive. Yeah. He seems to be there all the time on the news lobbying people. And,
yeah. So you kind of hope, if it does happen, it needs to be properly done. Yeah, talking of politicians, the heads of terms was finally agreed. It had been kind of rumored and you know, lots of messages. Oh, I think I've heard it's been done and it's not been signed yet, but it's all this and it's that.
Or the whole thing's over. I've heard a lot in terms of where it might be.
So yeah, heads of terms. It's another step on a very long journey. You know, it's a hurdle that has needed to be overcome. It has been. You know, it doesn't mean that everything now will you know, be plain sailing, because there still has to be the lease drawn up for the land and you know, all the caveats involved in protecting the football club from, you know, the last thing we want is to be in a similar situation where we are now, where club and stadium are separated and that, you know, we're just in a nice shiny new stadium where it's a problem. But it does feel like it's another, okay, that's one more hurdle behind us and there's fewer in front now, and it's gradually getting, you know, the planning application, the public consultation period, or the period of time where people could comment on the plans has come to an end. So, you know, a lot of people put comments in, lots of positives, you know, some negatives as well, and some opposition, which is fine. You know, people have to have the right to object if they wish. So I, you know, there's a summer to look forward to where that's going to keep us entertained while the Euros are on. What's happening in Oxfordshire politics, local elections happening as well. It does. It's keep football out of politics, keep politics out of football. But I think they're kind of becoming a bit intertwined at the moment for the people of Oxfordshire.
The next step is Cherwell planning. And I guess we'll have to see what comes of that. There are elections in the Cherwell district next Thursday? Is that when they are? Yeah.
May, that would be,
wouldn't it? This is Tuesday the 23rd we're recording this. It's next Thursday. I guess we'll see what comes from that and what the makeup of the planning committee looks like. But we'll hopefully get some sort of recommendation from Cherwell officers before the June meeting. And then there'll be a vote. I'm very dubious that it's going to be that night. It just feels like there's probably going to be some sort of delay over something.
Mm. I've never done sort of domestic planning permission or anything like that before. It's a real eye opener as to just how many things. I knew that there was a lot to overcome, and obviously something like this even more so. But there have been so many things where people go, like a meeting will end or whatever. And then as Oxford fans, we all seem to be going, what does that mean? Like, mm-hmm. Was that it? Did we get what we wanted? Mm. I don't know what it, we'll find out soon. It's not a no yet. Like, that's how each stage sort of seems to be.
Mm, yeah, I think we're used to that 90 minutes and plus some a bit of extra time, and at the end of that we have a result, we know what's happened, whereas this is a very different beast and it moves at its own pace.
There is when it came to the forum and stuff recently, I think there was almost a bit of surprise as to the fact that we were not just getting carried away by the football, we understood the bigger picture.
Mm.
Even if we don't fully understand it, and I don't think many people understand politics, let alone local politics, and even worse in Oxfordshire, anyone who watches Plots and Farm thing, like goodness me, it's something that we'll just keep an eye on and know the importance of, but not to over dramatize it. It is the future of our club. If it doesn't go through, it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable in any shape or form. You know, there's too much debt.
Which is really interesting, because I do agree with a lot of what you just said. But last year, there was a cabinet meeting in January and everything went as well as it possibly could for Oxford United. And that evening, we lost to Wickham and it was the beginning of that 17 games without a win. And just from high to low, and boy, did you feel that low, even though the movement from their club has all been in the right direction.
If
what's on the pitch doesn't match up, it just, talk about not sustainable. Good mood is not sustainable.
What's going to happen now though is that we're going to enter one of these annoying windows where it goes very quiet for a while. Yeah. I can tell you for a fact, nothing happens when elections are about to happen in local government, and it won't for a few weeks after either. So we all just have to accept that, because they just, they'll, especially with the numbers on Cherwell at the moment, there'll probably be deals to be done, and that takes a while, and blah, blah, blah. So it's not going to move at a pace that we like in the next few weeks.
It's fine, because we've been told they've probably been over-communicating. So now
where are we at the moment? Is it under or over? I can't remember.
I don't know.
I think we're baby bear at the moment. Just right.
But, you know, hopefully there'll be a playoff campaign, can distract us for a few weeks. England might go far in the Euros, and then I think the stadium gets built in August.
Yeah. Where's your shovel, Fraser?
I'll head down. I have to say, I August 2026, I just can't see it.
I think on the pod we've said that'll be a stretch throughout, because we knew that A, lots things take a lot of time, but B, it's not going to be, you're not going to reach each thing and then go, yeah, that seems fine.
Yeah.
And rightly so, because, you know, that's how democracy works.
Mm-hmm. You know, why don't we just stay at the Kassam? Why don't we just stay there? Yeah, that's still going around.
Yeah. No, they can keep on saying they can play at the Kassam. We can't. Let them take that into a courtroom if they like. And the judge will go, well, yeah, but they can't.
Yeah.
So... the judge isn't going to go, well, these people who haven't looked at the documentation have said that you can. Well, that's not how it works.
Moving on to the women's team, who played MK Dons at home on Sunday, drew 1-1. Only one game left in the season, Cardiff away on Sunday, May the 5th, sort of bank holiday weekend, with a chance of finishing fourth. We certainly won't drop any lower than we are at the moment in fifth place, with one game of the season to go. But as we've said before, another pretty decent season for the women's team, and new manager this season, I suppose, perhaps needs that little bit of time to stamp their way of playing on the team and looking forward to next season.
He had a tough act to follow, to be fair. They've done us proud again. You know, it's about time they start being given the support and the budget that, you know, other teams are getting, because they're always overachieving. Yeah. And I'm not just saying that because of CAF.
If you want two championship clubs in the new stadium, let's do all we can to make that happen.
It would probably be easier to get them up than it would the men's.
Well, I don't think
we mentioned it at the time, but the end of season awards. So Zoe Barrett, I think, picked up goal of the season and supporters player of the season, and then Kate Wiseman got players player of the season.
Zoe Barrett has scored. She could have had a goal of the season vote on her own, I think.
Yeah.
It's been really exciting, and I'd love to see sort of more highlights available or easier to access, through iFollow, like you do. I don't know if we have that possibility. I know a few clubs have come off iFollow in terms of a lot of the content, and sort of started their own channels. That'd be exciting to see, but I think we've got a really good thing with the women's team, and we should. Yeah.
Well, that might happen with the change in the TV coverage of Leagues 1, 2 and Championship, the new Sky deal. That seems to be that iFollow might be going anyway. I think that's coming to an end, isn't it, the iFollow situation? So hopefully with the background that our owners have got in broadcast media, it might well be that the women's games, you know, I'll broadcast like that. But certainly, get them playing at the new stadium when that's built as well. So,
and for anyone that hasn't gone to watch them, it's a really good day. Like, it's a really good.
Yeah,
they play attractive football. For anyone who, I know this is largely a hindsight thing, who has a little soft spot for the non-league days, because you sort of, the players recognise you and you recognise them, and you're down on pitch level and you can stand there with a beer and all of that stuff. Yeah, there's you get that. Mm. You get that feel. Obviously, we couldn't stand there with a beer, but some levels of football you can. There is that nice grassroots feel to it. Yeah. And you're still watching and supporting Oxford United. And they're playing good, exciting football.
Indeed. I haven't said hi, Tim, yet. So we ought to do Tim. That. And by the way, Tim, if you've got this far, I think it was after the Lincoln game, might have been after the Peterborough game, where coming out, I was trying to get out of my parking space in the car park, and I looked up and realised it was Tim in the car directly in front of me, sort of driving out. So I kind of waved. He didn't look. I flashed. He didn't look. So if you flash your deliberately ignoring, I was flashing to sort of yes. I said, yeah, he would have looked if he didn't. No. That was me, Tim. I hadn't seen him since to actually speak to, but that was me flashing. So maybe he thought I was trying to get angry and push my way out of our parking space, but I wasn't. I was just going, hi, Tim. So,
A real life hi, Tim.
Yeah. Any other business?
One thing that might be worth saying, if anyone wonders what it's like to be any sort of analyst, check out Kath Faulkner's social media. I know she put it on LinkedIn, which is a closed network, but I think she's put stuff on X, formerly known as Twitter, now as well.
Yeah,
it's a real insight, and anyone interested in football, that's worth a look.
Indeed.
Obviously, if you're really interested in football, you won't have listened to us talk rubbish for the last hour.
Yeah, if you're making your way down to Exeter, hopefully this has got you to Bristol. In which case, hopefully, fingers crossed, the M5 is nice and clear. Couple of nice services on the M5. I sound very Alan Partridge there, don't I? Couple of nice services on the M5. Very rural, very nice coffee and that. Safe travels for anyone who is going down to Exeter. But in the meantime, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and we'll see
Good
you next
luck,
time.
Everyone.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.